Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 375, and the always free Odyssey app. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Zach Jackson, who does cover the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic, he's going to stop by 20 minutes from now. The Browns just had a few days of OTAs. They'll pick him back up next week. We'll get his thoughts on the big quarterback competition in Cleveland between Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shedeur Sanders, and Dylan Gabriel. And then at the top of the hour, we'll do a little college football fix with the SEC spring meetings. Coming and going, we will chat it up with SEC Network analyst Chris Doering on the 5-11 college football playoff format. Also, what's going to happen with the future of the transfer portal, and we'll delve into some of the big quarterback positions and also quarterback battles in the SEC, with some teams having some high expectations this year, and we're going to see if they can reach their full potential. So Zach Jackson at 3:20 and Chris Doering coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific today. The Knicks were in sports hospice last night. I have encouraging news. There is a pulse. It may be faint, but at least there is a pulse. And now we will see the New York Knicks back in action tomorrow up against the Indiana Pacers. And that will be game 6 in Indiana coming up tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time. What you saw with the Knicks last night is what you failed to see the Minnesota Timberwolves do in game 5. Because the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the same spot. It was 3-1, right? Even though they were on the road, when you look at the, you look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're on the road, and they're going up against an Oklahoma City Thunder team who's trying to punch their ticket to the NBA Finals. And when you are in that spot, and you're looking to stay alive, and you're looking to extend this series, and you're looking to give your team a chance, you need your best player to show up and ball out. Anthony Edwards failed to do that in Game 5. That's why the Oklahoma City Thunder are already in the NBA Finals. Last night, Jalen Brunson, he showed up, he balled out, and he had 32 points, and he was right out of the gate, just shooting like his pants were on fire, and he was unbelievable in the game. He finished 12 of 18, 4-7 from 3, was perfect at the charity stripe, and he cashed in on 32 points. And more importantly, too, I thought it was the best team performance by the Knicks in terms of their defense in this series, and that's why they won the game in Game 5, and we'll get to more on that in just a bit. But Jalen Brunson usually gets dogged for his lack of defense, right? What do you always hear with Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson? They score a lot, but they do jack bleep on the defensive end. I thought Jalen Brunson gave you a tremendous effort on the defensive end last night. So Brunson played a complete game, and on the other end, you saw the Indiana Pacers have their best player, who was just coming off a 30-plus point triple-double where he had zero turnovers, And Tyrese Halliburton was just terrible last night. He finished the game with 8 points. He was 0-2 from behind the arc, 2-7 from the field, was not shooting the basketball last night, and only had 6 assists and 2 rebounds. He was a minus 23 in the game. And there were moments in this game where the Knicks had a big lead, and you started to see it just fade away, and you're like, okay, here comes Indiana. They're going to make their run. Maybe they're going to have a little flashback of what transpired in game one. But every time you had that moment, whether it was Brunson, whether it was Cat, who, by the way, Karl Anthony Towns had a zesty performance last night, as they would say on social media, with 24 points and 13 rebounds. But whether it was Brunson, whether it was Cat, Mitchell Robinson, right? He's the energizer bunny on this team. You look at Josh Hart, whether it was Landry Shamet, who was phenomenal defensively. I know OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges didn't give you the greatest offensive performance in the world, but they played defense last night. OG at one point, I think he had a thunderous slam, and Mikal made a few jump shots. Like, any time there was a thought of, uh-oh, here we go again, and a little nervous energy in Madison Square Garden that was rocking to start, and then at times when you look at the game when it got to single digits or it got right around 10 points, you're like, oh boy, we know what happened when it was up 14 with 2:45 left in game one. We know what happened when the Knicks had a 9-point lead with 52 seconds to go, or with like 40 seconds to go, it was a 7-point lead in game one. And any moment there was a chance to shift the feeling in that building and have momentum swing all the way to the Indiana Pacers, the New York Knicks stepped up and made a play. But I look last night and I asked last night, why did the Knicks win the game? It's simple. It's one reason. And the biggest reason of them all is the defensive effort. You saw defensive effort last night from the New York Knicks that you have not seen in this series. Like, they played a fine defensive game when they came on back in game three and some of the guys off the bench played well defensively. But last night was as good of a defensive effort that you're going to see from this New York Knicks team. And that's what I think the biggest thing with Tom Thibodeau emptying his bench and really playing his guys and throwing in Landry Shamet, throwing in, obviously, Deuce McBride's been a big part of this team. Even DeLon Wright. Like, these guys aren't going to give you a ton offensively. DeLon Wright had 0 points last night. You know, he airballed one of those threes. Landry Shamet had 5 points last night. Now, Landry Shamet is capable of stepping up and knocking down a few threes. Quite frankly, I would talk about this before the start of the postseason, where I did say, you look at guys that could come off the Knicks bench, and maybe one of those guys will help them win a game in a playoff series. The two guys I looked at, I said Landry Shamet or Campaign. Now, Campaign had that performance in game one up against the Detroit Pistons, but ever since then, Campaign has been allergic to scoring the basketball. Like, they have lost full, they have no faith in Campaign anymore. They don't even play him, and Landry Shamet and DeLon Wright are getting those minutes. But what you're seeing from those guys, and don't get me wrong, are you going to win this series because of DeLon Wright? Are you going to win this series because of Landry Shamet? No. And those guys have a ceiling. Those guys have a limit. And just like you saw with Campaign earlier on in the postseason, they're going to do something positive. You're going to go back to the well, and don't expect it to be the level of positivity that it was when it was at the absolute height. Like the other night, Landry Shamet is getting his name chanted in an elimination game at Madison Square Garden. Now, what you can have travel is the defensive performance of Landry Shamet. But if that's what you get from DeLon Wright, if that's what you get from Landry Shamet, is just lockdown defense, and they're harassing, and they're being a bunch of pests to the Indiana Pacers, that's a way that you could go win game six in Indiana. Like, you don't need a PhD in basketball, folks. You don't need to be the smartest guy in the room. It's very simple what's going to decide game six with the Indiana Pacers up against the New York Knicks. What level are the Knicks willing to defend? Because there's been multiple times in this series where, to the Pacers' credit, their pace wears down the Knicks. Their pace just has the Knicks basically sucking wing, and they have no chance to get to those spots. But how many open threes have we seen from the Indiana Pacers in this series? And it's because the Knicks look absolutely lost, whether they can't get to the spot physically because they're so just gassed, or they're just playing poor transition defense. But that defensive performance last night was a really damn good one. And it wasn't like the Indiana Pacers were god-awful offensively. Like, Halliburton was a zero last night. You know, Nesmith didn't really do much, but they limited his minutes probably with the ankle injury. You know, I'm not sitting here saying that they had a wonderful game, but when Benedict Mathurin goes for like, if you would have told me before the game that Benedict Mathurin, who, by the way, kicked the Knicks' ass in game four and was a major reason why they were up 3-1, if you would have told me that Benedict Mathurin would have had 23 points off the bench just before the game, and you didn't tell me anything else, I would have said, oh boy, the Knicks are in trouble. So the Pacers starters, outside of Pascal Siakam, you know, they failed to show up. But it wasn't like you look at the numbers, it's not as if the Pacers played the worst game in the world. Yeah, I get it. They shot 40.5% from the field. They shot 33% from three. The Knicks shot 27.6% from three, and they shot 49.4% from the field. So it wasn't like the Knicks, in terms of the Pacers on offense, were that much better. Sure, Brunson it just rolls out of bed and gets the 30 points. Karl Anthony Towns, he has the ability to just take over a game. And you see this formula for the Knicks when Brunson and Towns have these types of performances, they're very tough to beat. And you need one other piece or them to work as a team to show up. And usually, like, I look at Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, and I go, oh, go get to 18, one of them. Now, last night, that didn't happen. Mikal had 12 and OG had 11. But you look at what Mitchell Robinson did. You look at what Landry Shamet did. You know, even Josh Hart. They had a really good effort last night, but the things that aren't going to show up on the stat sheet for the Knicks is the defense. You know, the defense for the Knicks last night, if they play like that in Game 6, they're going to have a Game 7 at Madison Square Garden on Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. That is what is going to determine if there will be a Game 7 or not. And I'm not sitting there and saying the Knicks are definitely better than the Indiana Pacers. I wouldn't do that. The Pacers have been the better team this series, right? You look at it, Game 1, Game 3, a wash in the chokes. Game 2, the Pacers were better. Game 4, the Pacers were better. And last night, the Knicks were better in Game 5. Now the question is, can you do that in back-to-back games, which the Knicks obviously have not done this series, but can they play to a defensive effort that we have not seen one time in this postseason run for the Knicks? Like, don't get me wrong. They've had some good defensive moments. They've had a good defensive quarter. Like what they did in the fourth quarter and overtime when you look back at games 1 and 2 up against the Boston Celtics. You know, the final game up against Boston in game 6, the Celtics, they basically, once the Knicks had a big lead and that crowd was rocking and no Jason Tatum, the Celtics just said, have a good one. We're going to the golf course or we're going to Cancun. But you did not see a well-rounded effort, a four-quarter effort of Knicks defense at all this postseason like what you saw last night. Now it is, can this team dig deep and can this team do it again? Because you know the Pacers are going to come out swinging at home. You know Nesmith and you know Halliburton are going to shoot the rock. You know that's what they're going to do. Siakam, who's been an incredible player for them, I have no qualms or no questions about him. You're going to have to survive the first quarter. But after that, you're going to need your defense to go win you that game in the second, third, and fourth quarter. Because the Pacers at one point, I'm sure in game six, we'll have an 8-point lead, a 10-point lead in the first quarter, and it's up to you to exit that quarter only down 4 or 5. Then after that, alrighty, you survived the run, you survived the stretch, then it's go time. But if you do what you did in game 4, where it was a 6-point deficit for the Knicks with 125-ish, let's just say, to go, 130-ish to go, and then you end that quarter down 11, I know this team has come back from down 20 points 3 times this postseason. It's not likely that you're going to do that when the Indiana Pacers in their building in game 6 can basically smell and basically touch and basically feel like they're going to the NBA Finals. So I said it before last night. I'll say it again. I thought the Knicks were winning last night. I think the Knicks are going to go on the road in Indiana. I think they're going to win game 6. And then I did say that the New York Knicks are going to lose game 7 on their home court at Madison Square Garden. I'm still sticking by that. It's going to be very tough. And it just shows you how good this Pacers team is to beat them three times. It's not impossible, but it's going to be very tough. You got the first one. Now probably no one's going to pick you in game six. I will. And then in game seven, you got to prove me wrong if you are the New York Knicks. So I'm still saying Pacers in seven. But last night, the Knicks showed you something that they've been missing this entire postseason. And that is a defensive effort that is well-rounded, not just for a quarter, like what you did up against Boston, but for four quarters. Whether it was Shamet, whether it was Mitch, whether it was Wright, even Brunson playing some big defensive minutes last night. Cat doing a nice job as well. OG, Mikal Bridges. That was a team defensive effort last night. And you learn something about a team when their backs are up against the wall. Now, they have come out of their corner. They're still limping. They're still hobbling. They still have a nice shiner on their face. They're going to their corner. They're getting attended to. And now they're going to get back up and fight tomorrow night. And the question is, do you have enough left in you to continue to build off the momentum of what you did in game five? Or will this just be a one-off like it was in game three, where it was, oh, all right, the Knicks are back in it. And then right after that, it comes crashing and burning down. The defense is going to decide this. And the Knicks need to replicate that defensive performance that they got in game five, in game six. If they do, we'll have a game seven at Madison Square Garden on Monday night. If they don't, then the Pacers will be going to the NBA Finals up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. We will talk about the Cleveland Browns quarterback competition between Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders at a few days of OTAs, a few more days next week. We will tap down into Cleveland with Browns reporter for The Athletic. Does a tremendous job. Zach Jackson will join us next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, when I covered the Eagles, I would hate going to OTAs because they're so monotonous and you're just watching like grown men in shorts and a t-shirt just throw footballs around and everyone's like having their analysis and freaking out. But I will tell you, I would love to go to Cleveland Browns OTAs right now with this quarterback competition because I'm sure the media's having a field day with it and I'm sure the players are even having some fun when you look at this quarterback competition, which is such a peculiar one. Between Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shedeur Sanders, and Dylan Gabriel. So let's do a little OTA report. They had a wave this week. You got two more in the next 2 weeks, and everyone's going to want updates on the Cleveland Browns situation, especially since Shedeur Sanders is there. So Zach Jackson does a great job covering the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Zach, appreciate it. Thanks so much. How you been?
I've been busy, but I'm good. So good to be here.
So your first few days of OTAs with this quarterback competition, what are the big takeaways that everyone's freaking out about here?
Well, they've had three, but we're only allowed to watch one a week, right? So we've had basically one rookie minicamp observation and one day of OTAs. And it was a different OTA because they're splitting team drills, which there really aren't many in OTAs, into two because they want to get all four quarterbacks reps. So it's a circus. And then by the time Shedeur got up as the fourth one, there weren't enough linemen to go full 11 on 11. So he was more like 9 on 9, right? So he got the fewest reps. That's how it's going to be. We'll see how that changes. But, you know, you're out there. Joe Flacco clearly has the strongest arm, throws the best ball. Everybody wants to see Shedeur. He's been impressive. You talk to people in the building, they say he's been impressive. He's only been in the building like 16 days at this point. Right. So what this competition is, Zach, right now, for at least two more months and probably beyond that, it's two different competitions. It's Flacco versus Pickett for the starting job. And then it's the two rookies positioning themselves against one another, but really just in the scheme of things to be ready. So I think it's 12 of the 26 years the Browns have been back. They've had at least three starting quarterbacks. No one expects this team, you know, to be really good this year. And if they are, it probably means that Joe Flacco took it and took this opportunity and was outstanding. And then the rookies will just sit and watch, right? At least to a certain point. So there are probably twists and turns left. There isn't a lot to see, but I understand the interest in it. And it's interesting to us too, because we don't know what's going to happen. I think Joe Flacco is going to be the number one starter, the week one starter, but who's starting in week 5 and week 8 and week 13, I don't know. And how many of those games are relevant to this season versus the bigger picture of a team that has two first round picks for 26, we'll find out.
If you're right on that, that Joe Flacco is starting week one, I've always thought, like how you kind of just laid it out, it's Flacco against Pickett for week one, and then you have Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. I never thought neither would not be on the roster. So does it feel like whoever loses between Flacco and Pickett that they'll be sent somewhere else or just maybe outright released?
I think that that's probably the most logical road, but there really are multiple roads here. You know, the Browns don't have much at all committed. The guaranteed money to Pickett and Flacco combined is not even what like a low tier starter that's somewhat established makes, right? The guy to whom they have the biggest commitment is Dylan Gabriel, right? And everyone is laughing at them for picking him in the third round. So nobody else was doing that. So we will see how that goes. They might keep four. There, you know, someone might get injured. There might be a trade opportunity for a team, New Orleans, that has a connection to Kenny Pickett through Kellen Moore needing a guy. You know, Flacco might start a few games and then get shipped off to it could go a number of ways, but probably both rookies stay on the roster given how it shook out. And then there's a veteran starter, and then we just see what happens from there.
But what's the feeling amongst Cleveland Browns fans, Zach Jackson? I know they've been tortured. They've had 5,000 quarterbacks in the last two decades. We all see the jersey that just keeps on getting updated. But when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, I thought he was a first-round talent. I thought maybe he could fall to the second round. I would have never thought, obviously, he was going to go to the fifth round. But if I was a Browns fan, I'd be sitting there saying, we got the steal of the draft in the fifth round. And he probably just fell because of who his dad is and how loud his dad was leading into the draft process.
Yeah, from these early impressions, he can throw the football. You know, he can play. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Browns got a pretty good draft class from what we know, right, 4 weeks after, from what they needed and where they need to go. But it went in a weird order. It didn't go how anyone predicted it, starting with the Mason Graham, Travis Hunter trade, right, all the way to Shedeur, 22 spots up on the third day of the draft. But now they're here, and Shedeur looks like an NFL player, right? So he, if he can do the things that made the Browns think that he was worth a pick when so many other teams didn't, made the Browns trade up to get in front of what, you know, X team, it felt like Philly, but probably other teams, to make sure they got him in the program and see what happens. If he can do those things, he's going to be here and get chances. So I don't think it's going to be September. I'm not sure it's going to be November where he's anywhere ready. But to watch him in these settings, Zach, you see, okay, that's why he had first, second round grades. That's why he was an intriguing prospect, you know, for football reasons. And I know to various groups, he's an intriguing prospect for non-football reasons. But he has an opportunity to entrench himself, you know, as a player who collecting NFL paychecks. And I think there's at least somewhat of a chance that he can become a real NFL quarterback given the right time and opportunity.
Regardless if it's Flacco or Kenny Pickett come week one, I look at the first six games. It's a tough stretch with the Bengals, the Ravens, the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Steelers. When you get that next quarterback, assuming that it doesn't go well with the way the team is and then also those opponents, does it kind of feel as if that next quarterback up for Gabriel or Shador will be in that range of the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Jets that spans between October 19th and November 9th?
Well, when the schedule comes out, the first thing you notice is zero primetime games, right? So the NFL thinks what most of us think on the outside. But in week five, they go to London. Then I think 3 weeks after that, they have their bye week, which coincides with the trade deadline, which coincides with almost midseason. So if you're looking at change, if you're looking at judging where the organization is, and they did make changes, you know, they rehauled the offensive staff for the second year in a row. There's not a lot of feeling that guys are on the hot seat. And I think the most important thing, Zach, about this quarterback competition that hasn't gotten talked about once really since the second Shador was drafted is that they started the draft by getting an extra pick for next year. So there's a very strong chance that the winner of this contest is really nobody outside the 17 games that are on the paper that you just looked at, right? So that's where this goes. And I think those two dates, the day after London, and then certainly that, I think it's the New England game that's right before the bye week. So in that window, which is all really in about 4 weeks of calendar time, you could see a lot. And like I said, Brown's history says these guys are going to play. And you know, all the reaction, the reason I'm here, the reason there's so much buzz about OTA practices and in my Twitter mentions and all of that is because they do joint practices at Carolina and Philly in August. And that's when it really is a competition and not just watching, right? When we're watching them now, we don't know what just got installed. We don't know where the ball is supposed to go. We don't know if Shador is out there against one single guy who's ever going to play an NFL snap. And we don't know if he's ever going to play an NFL snap, right? But how they divvy the reps and what they're trying to do in those joint practices, specifically in Philly, who's really good, obviously, and that would be the very middle, almost to the back end of training camp, that's when it's going to be telling about where guys are and what the Browns are trying to get done. Because even if this is about 26, and even if this is about maybe Shador, maybe Gabriel, but probably somebody else, Kevin Stefanski and the coaching staff are not thinking that way because they might not be around for 26 if that's the case.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people were just surprised. I still liked the pick when they did take Shador in the fifth round because they got the extra pick, like you said, in the first round for next year. And then they took Dylan Gabriel, which was surprising, in the third round. And I was higher on Dylan Gabriel than most. So what has kind of been the Browns' explanation and what you're hearing on why they felt like they still thought it was a good idea to go make the move to get Shador in the fifth?
Well, they tried to say we followed the board, but I mean, come on. There's no way that the board said that, right? Because even if, well, there was 50 picks between those guys. Yeah. There was no quarterbacks taken by anybody in those 50 picks. And in the middle of that, they had one pick and they took a second running back. Right. So maybe that running back was super high on their board. That's Dylan Sampson, you know, who led the SEC in rushing. I get it. But yeah, what the explanation is, I don't know. I think safely, I would say that it's they liked Shador. Right. And so whoever told them to push the button or push the button for them or led the conversation really doesn't matter. It's you know, these guys, they're committed to Gabriel to an extent. They're committed to Shador to almost no extent. He's going to sell a lot of jerseys. He's going to pack training camp. There's going to be a ton of buzz around this team. But the coaching staff and the guys who are only under contract for this year, which includes both of the veteran quarterbacks, they have to get ready for week one and then that brutal stretch of five straight games against playoff teams that follows that, right? And the rookie quarterbacks realistically are getting ready for the future. And so when we're watching, and we'll be watching like closely again next Wednesday, right? We're watching just the beginning stages of how those guys are going to fit.
You know, I haven't seen something like this probably since Tim Tebow. And let me be clear, Tim Tebow is one of the greatest college players of all time. I never thought Tim Tebow was going to be this sensational NFL quarterback. I do believe Shedeur Sanders can be a good NFL quarterback. That's going to be the fun thing, I think, that's going to be interesting to see how the Browns manage this. Because what their schedule is, if you throw Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett to the wolves the first few games of the season and it does not go well, how they are going to deal with the calls to see Shedeur play is going to be fascinating to me.
Well, for one, that's why they didn't bring Flacco back for 24, because the fan base in the locker room wanted him with Watson. But it's funny you say Tebow, because, you know, after the first 15 minutes and just the initial reaction of, wow, they really just traded back and took a second quarterback, and it's this quarterback, I was reminded of when I was at Fox and they sent me to Cincinnati for a Tebow preseason game. Right. And he wasn't going to play. And when he got in, he stunk. Right. But this is even before social media is what it is now. There was an NFL Network camera down on the Jets sideline that just followed him during the preseason game. Right. He was holding the clipboard. He was signaling plays. He was talking to his quarterback mates. He was, you know, just warming up. But there was one camera that followed him all the time. And that's what it's going to be like with Shedeur. That it's not the only case. Right. And the Browns have participated in other things. I'm not going to use the word circus. It hasn't been that. But might it be that in August? And if he does get in a preseason game with guys that can get out of a stance and catch a ball and he throws a touchdown, you're exactly right about how that's going to go.
So right now you think it's going to be Flacco week one. Pickett's probably somewhere else. Would you give the edge to Shedeur, Dylan Gabriel for that two spot? Who do you think gets the edge right now?
Well, based on what I've seen, that part's not close. Shedeur is such a more gifted thrower than Dylan Gabriel and looks so much more like an NFL quarterback. But what have we seen in relation to what it's really like out there? Not much. Like I said, he's not even out there in 11-on-11s. So he's not getting rushed. You know, this is he's never been in this system until 3 weeks ago, been around any of these guys. So we'll see. I'm not completely convinced on Flacco because I'm not sure, you know, Flacco versus Pickett with where this organization is headed and what all will go into it. But if it's just based on throwing and just based on Flacco knowing this offense and coming to energize this team in training camp after they just went through the motions in training camp last year when everybody was signed and they had just come off 11 wins and everybody assumed that Deshaun Watson was going to be good, everybody except those of us who watched him every day, right? So this is a completely different feeling. So I feel like Flacco will energize things and galvanize things, I guess is the word I want, and win the job. But honestly, this doesn't make for good radio, but there is zero guaranteed about this. And that includes the four guys. Like, it would be very Cleveland Browns if another player takes a snap. And I'm telling you, like, I like what I see from Shedeur. I mean that. But I don't know that either one of these rookies will ever play, let alone this year. I don't know that they'll be ready. We just don't know at this early stage.
Wow. Like, that's never play for, like, I would be surprised if, you know, I know that they're not going to keep all four, but if we don't see at least three quarterbacks play this year, probably.
Well, sure. But I mean, Dylan Gabriel does not look like an NFL quarterback to me, like 0%. So I don't know what's going to happen.
So why do they love Gabriel so much?
Well, they fell in love with the intangibles, right? But they have an analytic charting project that they have followed in the past, and they looked. And so, you know, they were more than willing to admit, like, yes, you saw us in Mississippi at Jackson Dart's thing. Yes, we've done the thing. But they kind of snuck in a trip to Oregon on their way to the highly publicized pro day at Colorado. And Gabriel was, you know, fairly impressive at the Senior Bowl. Andrew Berry and Stefanski were there on the sideline watching every throw. What had happened there is Jalen Milroe got the hype. He was an Alabama guy. He played for Browns offensive coordinator Tommy Reese for a year in college. The Browns special teams coach was the head coach of Milroe's team, which also had Dart, which also had Riley Leonard. Like, Tyler Shuck was kind of the story. He just flew under the radar, right? And then I just don't think any other team was taking him in the top 100 or probably the top 150. If I'm wrong and the Cleveland Browns have their quarterback, that'd be great. You know, one of these years I would love to cover a normal franchise and a rookie quarterback that sticks around for more than 6 to 18 months. But if it's Dylan Gabriel, I will be beyond shocked.
What's going to happen with Watson? Like, what's the latest on him? He's never playing again for the Browns, right?
No, he's not ever playing for the Browns again. Now, I don't want to say never when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, but he is injured. You know, he's been in the building. He's doing his rehab. He is under contract for two more seasons, and right now he's on the cap for four more seasons. So I believe because he got hurt offsite, I believe he'll go on the non-football injury list before camp when they have to make those designations, and then probably will just spend the season on that list. Now, for a normal player that goes on NFI, they don't have to pay him. His contract is fully guaranteed. So then after next year, they'll have to make a decision on how to handle it, probably figuring out the best way financially to make a clean cut, but I don't know. I mean, they owe him so much money. Zach, his cap number for 2026 is $80 million.
Jeez.
He's not in the plans.
Jeez. It's one of the all-time worst trades in contracts ever in the history of the NFL. It's just wild that it got to this point. Last thing that I'll ask you, one non-quarterback question here with Zach Jackson, who does a great job covering the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. It's actually more of a statement. If it's a quarterback not showing up for this stuff, I think it's a bigger deal. Does anyone really care that Myles Garrett, after getting paid, isn't there for OTAs right now?
People do, because of how he's handled things in the past, specifically dragging the organization through the mud and then all of a sudden signing. But they don't pay him for practice participation. They pay him for pressure rate for Saxton to be that. And he's always shown up and done that. So it's a little weird there, because he stuck to his guns and then all of a sudden budged. And people are like, maybe you could show up. But he's never done it before. So I think right now the Browns have enough on their plate, and they feel like when they get out there, like even when they go to training camp, they don't let Miles practice in July. Like, he doesn't need to, right? They need him for September to December.
He is Zach Jackson. Does a great job covering the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. Kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show. Zach, we appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be talking to you throughout the summer on this quarterback battle.
I'm sure. Thanks.
There you go. Zach Jackson with us. A whole lot of good stuff there. We'll do a news brief next.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
It's time to ask the pros. Read the listener gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's hear from Carl Anthony Towns on his mentality heading into this game that we saw last night, where Cat played well and the Knicks extended their season, and we'll see if they could do so again coming up tomorrow night.
Why not us? I feel that we all felt that we could do this. You know, we've shown that resiliency all year, especially in the playoffs. So for us, it was just like, why not us? Like, why not go out there and take it game by game, obviously, but, you know, let's worry about the next game. And game five's the next game. Let's get that one. Then let's worry about game six after game five. And then, you know, and then we'll worry about game seven after game six. But, you know, we got to take it game by game, stay in the present.
You had a trip to the NBA Finals in your fingertips. It's still there. But Tyrese Haliburton did not have an aggressive performance last night, only took seven shots in the contest. Let's hear from his head coach, Rick Carlisle. Does Tyrese Haliburton need to be more aggressive?
As a team, we have to be aggressive, and we have to have a level of balance. I mean, you know, I'll look at it. There's more things I'm going to have to do to help him. And so, you know, I'll take responsibility for that, and we'll see where we can improve.
And let's go to Tyrese Haliburton on his performance and only taking seven shots in the contest.
Rough night for me. I got to be better, setting the tone, getting downhill. You know, I feel like I didn't do a great job of that. But I watched the film. There were some different things they did defensively. But for the most part, I think their base stuff was the same. They picked up the pressure a little bit more, tried to apply more as the game went on.
Yeah, he's going to be more aggressive in game six. There's no doubt about it. You know he's going to come out swinging. You know he's going to come out firing. And the Knicks just need to weather that storm. And if they can weather that storm after the first quarter and play the defense the way that they did last night, then the Knicks definitely have a chance to win game six and send this back to Madison Square Garden coming up for a game seven on Monday. Let's go to Patrick Mahomes with NFL players being allowed to play in the Summer Olympics now with flag football. You could send one from a team. Would Patrick Mahomes be interested in playing Olympic flag football?
It's awesome, honestly, just to be able to showcase the NFL to the whole world through flag football. But I'll probably leave that to the younger guys. You know, I'll be a little old by the time that thing comes around.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And also Mahomes acting like he's such an old man. It's so awesome. But yeah, I'll leave it to the younger guys. That means he has no interest in it, but he's just going to praise it because he's a good dude, and that's what good guys do. Let's go to Justin Fields. What are his expectations for himself this year?
I think I can be great, you know, and that's, you know, been the goal for me my whole life, my whole career. So, like I said, you know, I think the sky's the limit, you know, for this team, for this offense, but we do have a long way to go.
It's almost at this point, and Justin Fields was fine last year, and I thought he should have continued as a starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you're at the point with Justin Fields. It didn't work in Chicago. It ultimately did not lead to him sticking around in Pittsburgh, even though they wanted him back. Now he's with the Jets. Until he gets through a full season and you see him and you say, okay, that could be the guy, or maybe he could be the guy, then it's almost at this point, just keep on playing this audio year in and year out. Oh, the sky's the limit. Oh, I expect to be great and all that stuff. I'm not saying he can't be solid this year for the Jets, but until he does it, it's tough to actually believe that it's going to happen. Let's go to the Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormark. He was discussing the college football playoff expansion and that potential model that we've been discussing. And he wanted to comment on the 5-11 model. Five would be going to conference champions, the four power conference champions, and the highest ranked non-power four conference champion. The other 11 would just be up for grabs of the highest ranked teams.
I think there's real momentum for 5-11. Certainly the public is voting yes for it, which I think is critically important, and it's a very good sign. And yes, the Big Ten and the SEC are leading the discussions, but with leading those discussions, they have a great responsibility that goes with it to do what's right for college football and not to do anything that just benefits two conferences. And I have a lot of faith in the process, and I think we'll land in the right place.
You know, I'll give him credit for this because he talks about what's in the best interest of college football. And that could be very vague and that could be very ambiguous. And sometimes commissioners use that even in a subjective way. Him going to 5-11 is not best for his conference. When another model that's on the table is for him to get guaranteed two spots in the college football playoff. And I know we're going to 16 potentially, but in the 12-team format last year, we only saw one Big 12 team get in. So I actually respect that from Brett Yormark. And there's sometimes guys that say, oh, do what's in the best interest of college football, and they don't actually follow through with those words with their actions. Brett Yormark is actually by advocating for the 5-11 model. Last night, you quickly saw the Oilers get out to a 3-0 lead. Then the Stars got two goals of their own. And in the second period when it was 3-2, Connor McDavid, the best player in hockey, said, I want to go back to the Stanley Cup final. Here is Cam Moon on the Oilers radio network as Connor McDavid netted a goal to make it 4-2.
Nudge free to Hintz. One-timer ripped and blocked by Ekholm. That'll lead to a breakaway for Connor McDavid. He's in and he scores! Connor McDavid drags it back to his forehand. And Edmonton has regained a two-goal lead in Game 5. Block shot, Ekholm, McDavid, the finish at the other end.
And night-night for the Dallas Stars. We're having an Oilers-Panthers rematch of the Stanley Cup Final that did go seven games last year. Remember, the Panthers raced out to a 3-0 lead, then the Oilers got three straight, and then the Panthers did win on their home ice in Game 7. Let's hear from Connor McDavid the difference between last year's final run and this year's team.
It hasn't been as emotional. You know, we haven't had the highs and we haven't had the lows. Just kind of been steady. You know, and I think that that's put us in a good position. You know, those games can be emotionally draining. We're not drained.
And you look at that team, their goalie's playing better. Now, you won't have Zach Hyman, as he just got surgery the other day, but their goalie is playing better, and you're seeing just that synergy that McDavid and Leon Draisaitl do have. Let's go to Pete DeBoer of the Stars. He pulled his goalie, Jake Oettinger, who saw two shots and allowed two goals. Here is Pete DeBoer on that decision.
Anytime you pull a goalie, you know, the reasoning's always to try and spark your group. So that was the number one reason. We had talked endlessly in this series about trying to play with the lead. And obviously we were in a 2-0 hole right away. And you know what, I didn't take that lightly and I didn't blame it all on Jake. But, you know, the reality is, if you go back to last year's playoffs, you know, he's lost 6 of 7 games to Edmonton, and we gave up two shots on two goals in a, you know, an elimination game. So, you know, it was partly to spark our team and wake them up, and partly, you know, knowing that, you know, status quo had not been working, you know, and that's a pretty big sample size.
I have no problem with what he said. I know people are slamming him. They're like, oh, he just threw his goalie under the bus. Everything he just said was factual. The only thing he could have added is that the defense got to be better in front of him, too. But outside of that, I really have no great issue with what Pete DeBoer said. Let's go to the Out of the Mud podcast. This is Jermaine O'Neal. He has a crazy story about his dad. Listen up to this.
My father went to jail for murder. My dad was there when my brother was born for 2 years. And then when I got, my mother was pregnant with me. He dipped. But crazy story, like, you know, my last name is made up. Like, true story.
What? O'Neal?
It's made up.
Damn. Like,
not even his name, right? So what happened was, I'm one of 33 kids. True story.
Damn.
I met 17 of them when he died. So I met him at 30, died 13 months later. So you know, I spent my whole life without really knowing him.
So he has 33 siblings. Or 32, because he would be considered one. And he's met 17 out of the 32. That's crazy. First off, how you have 33 kids is mind-boggling, number one. You know, get a vasectomy. Number two, you haven't met 15 of your other siblings. You met 17 of them. And also, let's not bury the lead, too. Like, the 33 kids is probably the lead. But the other part, Jermaine O'Neal, well-known. His last name was just made up. What? That's crazy. That is wild. 33 kids. 33! Oh my goodness gracious. That's really something. I think I've heard it all now. Antonio Cromartie's like, I'm off the hook, everybody. Phillip Rivers, I'm off the hook. Sean Alexander, I'm off the hook. With the amount of kids that they've had, 33. Oh my God. It is the Zach Gilb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, where I do not have 33 children, or at least I don't have 33 children that I know of. We'll come on back with Chris Thornton.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.